And we are back. This is If You've Got Ears. We just heard Myth of Equilibrium by C. Lavender. And prior to that, we heard Goguryeo to Remember To. To Remember To. Is that correct?
Just To Remember.
To Remember. And in the studio with us, we have C. Lavender today. I just wanted to... You were just before we came on mic, you were telling me a story about the cover of The Myth of Equilibrium, which has your name written on the one of the triangular panels of the geodesic dome, and you were just talking about the condensation in that space.
Oh, yeah. So the album is recorded in October a few years ago, and it was quite cold, and... The way it worked was we would run the heater that was in the geodesic dome, but then have to turn it off for all the recording. But between the chill outside and then the heat within the dome, it started creating all this like mega condensation. I had to kind of move all my music equipment to the center of the dome so it didn't get dripped on. And then I was just sort of playing around in the dome, and just the way that when there's condensation on a window and you just sort of make little drawings and things. And I thought to just write my name and be like, okay, this is the album cover.
Did you take the photo?
I did. Yeah. And then Richard Chartier did some of the design work for the album. He runs Line Records and also a wonderful sound artist.
Cool. It's a beautiful image. I want to... So we have queued up a piece called A Day in Jackson Heights. Mm. It's more of a field recording type composition or piece. Why don't you tell us about that? What's the story behind A Day in Jackson Heights?
Yeah, so that piece came out of a workshop that I taught in connection with the Museum of Moving Image in Queens, New York, who I work with quite often. And I've been sort of spearheading their sound design education programming, especially it's literally the Museum of Moving Image. So they've never really been involved with sound too much, although there is this really awesome installation in the museum where you can put in your own sound effects, like do your own kind of like Foley sound effects bank for Jurassic Park and Terminator. Amazing. And stuff, and just play around with it in different scenes. It's such a wonderful museum. I really, really love working with them. And this was sort of an external thing where my manager from the museum wanted to collaborate with a nonprofit called the Blue Bus Project, and we also collaborated with an immigration center called the Ellis Island Immigration Center. And what we did was essentially a field recording in the street, super community level program, where we set up this awesome little miniature blue bus, and that kind of became the ground station for this workshop. And we were just literally grabbing people in the street and saying, hey, do you want to learn about field recording? And I was just talking about how field recording can be an amazing way to connect with the space that you live. And Queens, New York, I believe is the most diverse neighborhood in all of America, and Jackson Heights in particular, incredibly diverse neighborhoods, so many cultures. So this was just kind of a street was closed off for a street fair. And then I was teaching people very basic field recording, just using their cell phones and just letting people go out, and children were involved. Many Spanish speakers were involved. I was doing like live translation, trying to explain field recording to just, yeah, anyone. You know, the sight of the blue bus attracted people, and they'd be like, hey, what's going on here? And we'd be like, well, it's a field recording workshop. And for people who didn't want to use their phones, we would just have them write down different things that they were hearing. But it was just so great because we had headphones available, and we just had all these people kind of walking around this closed street and sort of almost doing like a scavenger hunt for sounds. But then there was also this street fair festival going on. So a little bit down the block, there were food vendors. There was a Mexican dance class that took place. There were people clearing bushes, doing landscaping, and playing basketball. It was just so much stuff going on. So all the material in this recording was culled from the participants in that workshop. I had them send me all the files later. And then I mixed it into a collage.
Cool. Let's check it out. And we'll be back soon talking with C. Lavender. This is A Day in Jackson Heights. That's in Queens, New York.
A project that we are doing with the Museum of Moving Image. And basically, you have to go around this area and record like with your cellular. And so this is like part of our final project that we're doing after like spending this semester learning about New York City and the history of New York and how different, like, urban planning and urban resilience.
Thank you.
And that was the giant of 20th century, 21st century music, Alice Coltrane, Blue Nile, a pick of Lavender's. Always, it's always time, basically, for Alice, in my opinion.
100%, yes. what's that bumper sticker? Like, keep honking, I'm listening to Alice Coltrane.
Yeah, amazing. Before we move on, I just wanted to ask you a bit about, not so much about noise music, but just because I know you from that world, I'm fascinated by how people's experiences in noise music and the community of noise musicians in North America have sort of moved on and where they've gone and what they've taken from that, you know? And so it's very specific, like you're still... I mean, you said, obviously, while we were walking up, you said, you know, I'm into metal as well as sound baths or whatever it is. But like, those two things can obviously like coexist in a person's life. But yeah, just, I don't know, like, how is there anything that making noise music in that very visceral way that it used to be done? I mean, it still is done that way, but we're not throwing ourselves around or doing it like we used to do it. Right. You know, it's not quite the same, but
we're too old to I used to throw amps around the room.
Totally.
I mean, that wasn't totally my decision. I was in some very extreme noise acts.
I know. I there was more physical danger, I guess, than maybe there is now for us. But all to say, maybe you could just talk about how maybe noise music or that community kind of informed where you're at now.
Sure. So, you know, I would say I'm one of these people that came to experimental music and noise music very much as having a mindset that it was a part of the trajectory of punk music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people start with very like contemporary, like the contemporary classical, like, oh, I learned about this in art school, or some people come to it from punk or metal, or you know, like I came to it from a very community, like DIY sort of interest. And I had actually tried to join metal bands a bit in my youth. I, you know, played guitar and different things, and the just blatant sexism in that scene was so extreme, and was just having a hard time meeting people where I grew up in New Jersey who really wanted to try something super different. And I just kind of got to a point where I was like, you know what? I know I need to make music. This is something I need to do, but I'm just going to have to do it on my own. And, you know, getting away from the mindset of, oh, you have to be in a band. Like when you're younger, you're like, oh, we have to start a band and we're going to make our cool band. And eventually I was just like, okay, I just have to do this on my own. And was just, you know, teaching myself what I could, but at the same time, I wasn't, you know, I can't read music and certain things and had certain limitations there. So noise and experimental music provided this much more open canvas that was more in line with what I would have essentially been trying to do with the whole band, but I just had to do it myself. And that did give me, of course, you know, total freedom to create whenever I wanted to. And the first music that I made was very much collage based, so that's why it was nice to play that like A Day in Jackson Heights sort of thing, because that's very much how I still work, where I'm just kind of puzzling together different pieces, and it's not necessarily doing overdubs of like guitar and then drums and we're like building a song. It's this kind of puzzle piecing collage, almost like Fluxus feeling, or like I was really interested in acts like Negative Land and KLF and these people who were taking this sort of an anarchy approach to sound, and this really like punk, you know, we're just going to take a sample from a U2 song and flip it and turn it into something completely different. And, you know, they got sued for that kind of stuff. And when I started, I was working a lot with movie samples. So I was working with just really basic Casios, and I had my guitar, and I would use movie samples to create narrative and themes within songs. And I remember asking my friend, like, I think the first song I made, I sampled Pink Flamingos a bunch by John Waters. And
amazing.
Asking my friend, like, oh, do you think, like, I'm going to get in trouble for this? And he was like, John Waters is not going to hear your, like, MySpace noise album, okay? Like,
and if he did, he'd be okay with it.
Yeah, like, he would be fine with it. So that was kind of the foundation of it. And that was, like, me teaching myself using, you know, very basic digital software and buying pedals and plugins and recording to cassette tapes using Zoom record, you know, just using whatever sort of technology I could get my hands on. Mm-hmm. And I just think that was just such a fun exploratory process where I actually in the end did feel like I was learning more about music, frankly, than if I was just trying to play songs in a band and do whatever. And I think the thing that also really attracted me to experimental music and noise music and things is I've always had some form of a meditation practice in different ways. And I just felt like this was a form of music that you could get really lost in and you lose a sense of time and you can go different places. And I love a lot of, you know, the non-lyrical aspect that can be mm-hmm. a large component of, you know, ambient noise experimental, because it allows you to create your own narrative as opposed to, yeah, like a 4-minute pop song, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love, you know, karaoke and like singing pop songs and like going off like that. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like, you know, going back to these ideas of art therapy, you know, in art, when you learn art therapy, it's not about, the point isn't that you're an amazing artist and you've, you know, perfectly expressed an emotion on the canvas or whatever. It's just like almost the act of it is more important than the result. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was experiencing with the experimental music mm-hmm. scene. Like, okay, just the act of it. And we're all in this room together and we're creating something in this moment that, you know, will never happen again in this moment, as opposed to something like, you know, you go see, I know Rammstein played here in Montreal the other night, and I mean, props to them, amazing stage show. I sort of saw it from the waterfront a little bit in the distance. And, but they're locked in, you know, you buy tickets to Rammstein and you know what you're getting. Yeah. And, you know, no disrespect, but,
yeah. It's
just
the same every night for them too. It's not,
yeah. Yeah. So I liked that. That freedom that, you know, I remember many, many years ago, someone coming up to me at a show and being like, oh, what are you going to do tonight? You know, it's almost like you feel like you're like a magician or something, where they're like, what illusion are you going to create with that? Cause they were like, oh, you always do something different. And that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, I try to create music, for the spaces that it's presented in live, and considering, curatorial themes and different things like that. And I just think that that creates more symbiosis with the presentation and the art form and the people involved. And yeah, just I don't know, just having freedom in your art is so important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. And it's just funny, unrelated or related, but I was surprised at how many people I knew who, when scrolling through my social media, were at the Rammstein concert. I had no idea that I knew so many fans of that band.
It's like the metal Cirque du Soleil, you know, yeah. You just gotta go. You just gotta see it. Fireworks, you know, like, it's a whole thing. I mean, I've done performances. I actually did a performance with, I was in a group with a Montrealer, Melissa Aftemauer, in Hudson, New York. And it was a great group. It was Melissa Aftemauer, Dan Seward from the group Bunny Brains, Michelle Nigicello, I apologize if I pronounce that incorrectly, but amazing bassist. And then myself on synthesizer. And we did this show. We did two shows for... this really pathetic American holiday, Flag Day.
Okay.
It's not quite 4th of July.
It's like off-brand 4th of July.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but in this small town in upstate New York, they loved it. And it was a fireworks show and everything. And we did a live set and there was like fireworks happening outside the venue outside. So, you know, I've you know, getting to do live music with fireworks going is a epic experience
with a fairly heavy band there.
And it was great because heavy hitters. That whole event was Melissa trying to recreate her Montreal goth club days. It was a really every flag day she'd do this thing where she'd have a band play and then people would DJ goth music, so I played in the band, and then she's, you know, sending me text messages. Can you play Typo Negative? I'm like, yeah, I got you. I got you.
Amazing. So the reason for the season is that you're here. If I can say, you're here to check out Mutech, which is going on this week. And maybe you want to talk a bit about that experience and what brings you to Mutech.
Yeah, I mean, Mutech has been such an incredible long-standing festival for experimental art, something I've always wanted to check out. And I think about, you know, friends of mine who got to see like Coil back in the day and all, you know, just these incredible acts. And, My dear friend Chloe Alexandria Thompson is doing a performance Thursday at SAT venue, the Société des Arts Technologiques. So I apologize, but so I really wanted to come and support her work. She also has a piece in the Mutech VR immersive collection that people can check out. So she's really doing a lot, and she's from Vancouver, so supporting my Canadian buds.
Cool.
And yeah, just I'm just excited to check out other performances and things, and it's just really incredible. You know, I've been to some other festivals and things where they essentially you know, take over a city and there's multiple venues and things, but it's really incredible how well thought out and curated and composed Mutech seems to be. So, you know, I think today's kind of the beginning of the first full programming, so I'm really excited to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, totally. So we'll hear a piece from Chloe Alexandra Thompson. It's called They Can Never Burn the Stars, or is that the name of
the album?
Yeah. Glass Bits is the name of the track. And before we get to that, I'm going to play a quick station ID. This is CQT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
This is Michelle Mendege Ocello, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Keep it locked. Better run, learn, run. His daddy's home. Daddy's sweet little boy, just a little too sweet. And every night the man will be. Thank you.
We are back. That was Chloe Alexander Thompson. They Can Never Burn the Stars is the name of the record, sorry. And Glass Bits is the name of the track. And
playing Mutech tomorrow at SAT. Cool. As part of Play One cool. is the session.
And let's... is there... oh, I wish... let's talk about some of the other things that you're maybe interested in. You gave me a nice rundown of the things that you were hoping to maybe check out at the festival.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Modus Gabber Operandi, who I guess collaborated on the new Bjork album, which is so cool. And yeah, Caterina Barbieri, also Editions Migo artist. I mean, at the same time, though, it's quite nice that I don't know everything. I think that's what's kind of great about these sort of festivals, is you're discovering new things and you're just kind of able to walk around and check stuff out and learn about new artists and things. I think we were both saying we're like a little we're getting older. we're not always up on the times as well. And yeah, I think also just having not gone to live concerts in a long time, this is just so immense to get thrown back in like this. But at the same time, it's like I trust all this programming, you know. I was just kind of like, okay, if I'm gonna go back into, you know, heavy live show sort of things. But I did see Iko Ishibashi at Artist Space. It was her first US show. She's a Japanese artist who collaborates a lot with Jim O'Rourke, and beautiful singing and flute and computer music. And that was a show I saw a couple weeks ago, and I really, really enjoyed it. Also Editions Migo. I just kind of been supporting that whole crew a bunch. Nick Kolk Void is also playing Thursday at SOT. Wonderful, awesome new album, Bucked Up Space, that just, and to be clear, that was bucked. That was B. I'm not violating any FCC stuff here.
No, there's no FCC here.
Oh, there's no FCC here? Oh.
We have the CRTC, but it's they're less worried about the
cuss words.
The F word.
All right, in the U.S., it's like the ultimate abomination. Yeah, I know. Such a major, major fine.
I know.
I knew this. I was... saying earlier, I was a station manager for my college radio station, and we barely broadcasted more than a mile outside our college, but then we still had to follow FCC rules, you know? It's like, this is so silly.
I want to check out, I'm really curious about Gabber Modus Operandi.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we could check.
Yeah, let's hear a track.
It looks like it's going to be intense, but that's great.
It's going to be awesome.
Here we go. The track is called Jath Ilan Titan on CQT 90.3 FM. Okay, maybe not. Let me sort something else out. In the meantime, we'll let Bandcamp do its loading. Let's
play the Pollyanna Strom track.
Oh, yeah. I had that queued up in the first place.
Yeah, wonderful, super inspirational ambient artist on a Revenge label.
Cool. Here we go.
Unfortunately, also passed away a couple years ago, but a really great... artists folks should know about.
Cool. Here we go. This is Pauline Anna Strom.
Thank you. living room, and who do you think I saw there? Nobody. And then I went into the kitchen, and who do you think I saw there near the sink? Just a lot of dishes. And then I went into my foyer, and what did I see there? Nobody. And then I went upstairs, I climbed the stairs up to the second floor, and who was waiting for me there? Nobody. Well, I went into the living room, and who did I see there? Sitting on the chairs watching TV. Nobody. So I went outside. I went through my back door and out into the night and down my steps and into the garage. And that's where my car was. So I got into the car. And I drove and I drove and I drove outside onto the street and through the town and into the next town. And then I came to a little spot, a little night spot by the road that could serve hamburgers or anything like that, maybe a cup of coffee. And I went inside. I went inside hoping to find a big crowd there, but who should I see there? No, 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 whoa. No, 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 nobody. No, no, nobody.
Nobody.
So I went outside and looked above into the sky. The landscape was empty all around me. So I looked above the treetops, and who do you think I saw there in the night sky?
Who'd you see there?
I saw a picture of you. A picture of you made by the stars, one star to the next. You drew a line from one to the other, you'd make a picture, and the picture was of you.
Yeah, the picture was of you.
Oh, I don't want to live. No, I don't want to live all alone. Oh, I don't want to live. No, I don't want to live all alone.
And this is CKUT 90.3 FM. If you've got ears, closing out the show here, thank you for tuning in. We just heard The Worlds of Love with a track called Lonely Boy. Before that, Yellow Magic Orchestra with UT. And before that, Pauline Anna Strom, amazing track, Marking Time. Before we say goodbye, we just wanted to talk a bit about Lavender's sound healing practice. We're going to leave you with a track called Transcendent Waves Sound Bath. Lavender, why don't you tell us a bit about that and what, just what that is all about.
Yeah, so since 2014, I've been a sound healing practitioner, and sound healing is essentially using sound as part of the meditation process to help people relax or process feelings, process pain. I work a lot with what are typically referred to as vibrational instruments, such as gongs and singing bowls, but I also use digital audio that works with brainwave frequencies. And it's sort of, it felt like a very natural progression to my practice as an improvisational musician, experimental musician and things. And it's quite lovely because it's there's two sort of components to it. There's the element where I work one-on-one with people and they sort of tell me what they're going through or what made them interested in trying this out. And then I'm essentially crafting almost like a personal concert for them. Mm-hmm. And then there's also this thing called sound baths, which are public events, which can be really awesome too. And what's quite nice in both these situations, the person is typically lying down and they close their eyes and it's a full body, just complete listening experience. And you're coming from experimental music scene where sometimes, you know, I'm sure you've had the experience of playing a venue where basically no one in the audience wants you there. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, you're at a loud bar or whatever, and you're trying to do this, you know, thing you're super passionate about, this music that you're making. And, you know, people aren't listening or they don't get it, or, you know, you're even getting heckled or, you know, whatever sort of things can happen. Mm-hmm. So I really love doing the sound healing practice because people take the work seriously and they're interested in it and they're absolutely listening. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to transfer the whole thing online. So I've been doing private sessions with people on Zoom, which has been really cool. And they're just able to get this like awesome meditative sound straight to their home. And it's just, yeah, it's just been really wonderful. It's something I've really cultivated, and it's something that it's like, you know, being a skilled improviser with music, but then also with people. And, you know, it taps into my therapy background and different trauma certifications and different things. And I've worked with, you know, hundreds of people at this point, and with moving it online during the pandemic now, people all over the world. So you learn a lot about healing and emotions and processing, and get to talk to people who are in this totally like tripped out state from hearing this abstract sound. Yeah. It's just such a privilege to be in that space, to get to have conversations with people about music and their feelings and what they're going through, and to be of service in that kind of way too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have a little track that I had recorded actually as kind of a pre-sale incentive for the book. So when people pre-ordered my book, they got this audio file, and it includes some of my traditional gong playing, sound bath kind of music, and then eventually it kind of wipes into more synthesizer lush ambient stuff. We might just get through some of the gong playing now, so maybe to whomever's listening out there, you could just kind of close your eyes for a moment and take some deep breaths and just listen. Unless you're listening in the car, please keep your eyes open.
Yeah. I just wanted to real quick, if people want to check out more of your music, maybe you could just where you are online.
Yeah, of course. So for all my music work, it's clavender.net, and that's C like the letter C. And for more information on my sound healing practice, they can go to lavenderhealer.com. And then I have a C Lavender Bandcamp page too.
Awesome. And thank you so much for coming on.
It's been amazing to have you.
Okay, here we go. Thanks for listening. And DJ Frog, Zoe is behind the chair next week on If You've Got Ears. So tune in again. This is CQT in Montreal.
directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Magandang hapon, nakikinig po kayo sa Radio Kapwa, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough.
You're listening to 90.3 CKUT FM.
Hello everyone, welcome to Radio Kapwa, CKUT 90.3 FM, Franz Stoner on the ones and twos, happily joined by Desiree Ruiz, Veronica Bertiz, and the super talented Laura, our sound engineer. I'm excited for our show today, but we always kind of want to start with a little bit of an icebreaker, get the conversation going, get the blood flowing. So today I was kind of just thinking about, you know, it's been so hard with this pandemic to be able to travel. I'm someone who really loved to travel pre-pandemic. And in 2020, I was actually supposed